Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's hear the gospel again. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I get in a lot of trouble with Kathy because she says people don't know when you are kidding. I say something, and apparently, no matter how ludicrous, she thinks people actually believe what I'm saying. So, for example, if by tomorrow morning you could bring a rock from the planet Mars and put it down here, you will be saved forever from all of your sins. Now, I hope that sounds ludicrous enough, because you know you couldn't even get there and back. We've had several of these statements from Jesus. I think people blew it on this one. I don't think they realized that he's not serious. They tried to listen anyway. A couple weeks ago, we had this thing about plucking your eye out, cutting your hand off, cutting your foot off. As I mentioned, I don't think we've seen that happen yet, at least not for most people. And then he says that our faith is to be as that of a little child. And he talks about the fact that God gave the, quote, permission for divorce because of their hard hearts. It's not a rule, it's because people are so stubborn and selfish about the way they love that all of a sudden they turn their heart hard toward loving someone else. If I understand the way this story is put together in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it is not about money. It is not about wealth. It is about one's heart. We have it in kind of different versions in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is the Good Samaritan story. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must you do to get into my will? No way. You're not getting in my will. I'm a selfish person. The only people in my will are my immediate family. You don't get in. Now, you can say, "Yeah, but Pastor, you are filthy rich. You have so much money. I'm sure you could spare some for me because I'd like some of what you have." Talk all you want. You're not getting in my will, and I'm not just joking. I'm not overstating something. I'm just stating the honest truth. You're not getting in. And that's what Jesus was saying to this guy. You are not going to do anything to inherit eternal life. When we talk about we are saved by grace through faith, that's another way of saying it. You and I are not going to ever get God to include us in his plan of having us with him forever by what we do. Now, could I put you in my will? Yes. Yes, I could. But not because of what you do for me. Not because of how you try to be nice to me so you can get all of my millions. That's not how it's going to work. And our Lord is trying to say the same thing. He doesn't mean this guy is to give up all of his money any more than he meant that we're supposed to chop off our hand. He's trying to let us know that our relationship with God is based on his grace and mercy, based on a cross, based on God pouring out his wrath on all humanity. And the most arrogant thing we can do is think that we as sinners can show God we're worthy of his love. Now, I'm quite surprised because here it does not talk about the first table of the law, just the second. You shall have no other gods. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He could have probably said he did yes to those as well. Jesus isn't about redistributing wealth here, not in any way, shape, or form. He wants the guy to realize you don't get into a relationship with God on what you do. Just plain won't work. If it would, then Jesus' death would not have been necessary. Jesus' death on the cross, taking the consequences of God's wrath against all of us onto himself, redeeming us from the curse of the law, would not have been important. Anything we do where we say, now how can I position and adjust myself right before God, whether it's before I become a believer or after it, is just plain nonsense. And that's just the exact simple way it is. Whatever we do as Christians is a response and a thank you, and it doesn't have a quantification about it. I'm also interested that, I hate to say it this way, but I don't think Jesus went to confirmation class when he was young, because he didn't learn them in order. Right, Piper? We learned them in order. We worked with him yesterday, in fact. Marie, what's commandment number 4? Honor your father and your mother. That's the last one Jesus mentions. He starts with number 5. Shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, shall not covet. And then he goes to honor your father and your mother. So he'd have probably gotten about a B- that day. We'd have had to work with him a little bit about that. Well, what's he doing? He's saying that it is not about how do I do it. Honor your father and mother. Who knows how to do that perfectly? Only Jesus, who honored his father by giving up his life for all of his brothers and sisters on this planet. For the rest of us, it's not only what we didn't do, but what we failed to do. And Jesus essentially says, it is not about how you qualify with the goods you've got, the loot you've amassed. That's not the deal at all. And so people who have denied everything and taken vows of letting other people take care of them and to pray all the time, Jesus would not be telling them to do that here any more than telling them to chop their hand off. And the Good Samaritan story is not about let's be nice to our neighbor. The Good Samaritan was one who treated his enemy with love as God treats us by suffering and dying and taking the consequence of sin. And there it was the teacher of the law who said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We can't do anything. So let's not worry about that. Let's not think somehow God is checking out our behavior and will judge us accordingly. This is just another one of those whoppers that Jesus tells to point out that it's not going to happen. Give away everything. Come follow me. The guy went away. He said, not at that price. And so no matter what it is in your heart or mind, Jesus would speak to each of us individually and tell us about the one thing that we would not be willing to give up. And he would peel right down into our heart to realize there's always something we're going to hold on to. whether it's, I'm not that bad a person, or I'm happy with all of what's going on in my life, or whatever. He's going to find that for us because he wants us to turn to him. He wants us to realize that the real story, the real big story, is that he came to redeem us, to be our ransom. And so in various ways, he tries to spoil anyone thinking that somehow the relationship with the Almighty God is in our control. It's not, thank God. And that's why we're able to confess our sins, why we're able to say, I don't belong here. And he is able to say with that word, you are forgiven by me. My death and resurrection has been downloaded into you, and you now are in the will. You have eternal life. And I want to feed you with the very body and blood that was shed on the cross to strengthen you to know that you are in the will. In fact, that's what's the will. The last testament that he gives. He gives us, he wills to us, his body and blood to strengthen us in our life on this earth, to strengthen us so that we're not caught up in ourselves, but we look to him as our Lord and as our Savior. And so we are here to be settled, to be calmed down, to be assured that our God knows us and that his relationship with us is based on his eternal love that sent his Son, that by the power of the Spirit gives us peace with God. And that's what we are now. We are at peace with him. Everything else is thank you. So how do we use our time? How do we use our money? Not with calculations, but with thank you. How can we provide from what we have so that that good news gets spoken? We'll gather our promises the middle of next month. They are not based on how much does the church need. They're based on how much has he given me. The Lord doesn't say, I want you to give it all to me and then go on the rolls of the poor. He says, I want you to manage everything that you have so that the good news is proclaimed here and throughout the world, coming out of our minds and out of our mouths and out of our hands as well. He settles us down so that we quit calculating. I think it's probably the King James version of this. He went away crestfallen. His face just dripped and sunk because Jesus gave him the one thing he wouldn't do. With the Good Samaritan, the one thing he wouldn't do is act as if this whole world is his fault. And yet that's what our Lord did. And so this world is now his new creation again. And he tells us that through our lives, through the words we share, through the joy that we share, that we're saved and redeemed and at peace with God right now forever, and that when we come to confess, we say, Lord, I've turned away from that goodness, but you draw me back in to set me again on a path of life with you, that we're able to rejoice and celebrate and be part of a Christian community, that we get to love each other with Christ's forgiving love until that day that he comes back. And we get to look out into a world and find ways to love whoever we can with that same message of salvation. For that we thank him. Be at peace. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.